Today's program was brought to you by Brooklyn Ball Factory, a Japanese eatery and coffee shop in East Williamsburg, with a new location opening in Hell's Kitchen. Learn more at bkballfactory.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
You're listening to Feast Meets West, the show where we tell the story behind your favorite Asian dishes. I'm Linda Liu, and on the line is my co-host in Hong Kong, Iris Van Kerkhove.
Good morning from Hong Kong.
We are broadcasting live from Heritage Radio Network at Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn. Every episode, Iris and I dig deep on an Asian dish. We trace its history, how it traveled to the West, and we interview experts on the topic.
Linda, has it been warming up in New York yet? Or is it officially spring?
Yeah. I think after many false starts, it's finally spring. Spring has sprung. It's actually light out every day when I leave work now. So that's like really nice and also unproductive because then my evenings are like filled with like happy hours and desires to like dine and drink al fresco.
Perfect. Well, it's definitely been warming up here in Hong Kong too, and we can all feel summer's right round the corner. So I'm totally in the mood for today's topic.
Yes.
Instead of talking about an iconic dish with a long history, we're going to be talking about something relatively new, but with ties to traditional flavors.
Yeah. In the studio with us today is Hannah Bay, founder of Nuna's Ice Cream. Nuna's is the first and only ice cream company in the U.S. that offers a special collection of Korean-inspired ice cream flavors. Welcome to the show, Hannah.
Thanks, Linda. Hi, Iris.
I love the Nuna's concept and can't wait to try these flavors. It seems that while the Western world is starting to become fairly familiar with Japanese dessert flavor profiles like green tea, red bean, black sesame, a lot of Asian desserts and the flavor profiles, in this case, of Korean cuisine, are still overlooked.
Yeah. And we'll be talking about four particular Korean flavors that Hannah has captured in the form of ice cream. These flavors remind her of her culture and her family. We'll be diving into toasted rice, golden sesame, and special names she's crafted, Little Miss Sunshine and Sweet as Bay. So, Hannah, please tell us about yourself. How did you end up as the founder and creator of Nuna's?
Well, the idea came to me when I created the toasted rice flavor. And how I created that flavor was basically when I wanted to create a flavor that communicated my love and appreciation for my family and just growing up in a Korean American household, and I just wanted to incorporate my culture into the flavors that I was making.
Have you always been making ice cream? How did you end up in this ice cream making world?
Yeah, ice cream has always been my favorite treat. So it just made perfect sense for me to create an ice cream company. I was always cooking for my family. Mm. And I noticed that whenever I made ice cream and wanted to create flavors, I was using ingredients like black sesame or you know, toasted white sesames or...
So, like, from rice. The outset, you were already incorporating Asian flavors. Like, you didn't make the typical, like, vanilla, chocolate, strawberries or...
Yeah, yeah. So, okay. My first flavors that I kind of just, like, tested on was black sesame and a ginger ice cream. But when I knew I was onto something was when I... created the toasted rice ice cream. Mm-hmm. And that's inspired by nurongji, which is a traditional Korean rice snack. And it's basically the caramelized layer of country rice that forms on the bottom of a cooked pan of rice. So you can see that in other cultures like paella, like that crunchy layer, or in Korean restaurants or like at home where...
Like in bibimbap, bibimbap.
Yep. Yeah. Like bibimbap rice bowl. If you get it in like those like sizzling hot like ceramic bowls, like that crunchy rice layer. Mm-hmm. That's what nurongji is basically. But Korean people, we eat it for breakfast or like an afternoon snack, just like that crunchy rice.
Oh. Like not just, like necessarily with like. The rest of the rice, but like just that particular layer is.
Yeah, like it's basically like so we make so much rice. Like a mm-hmm. Korean family, we just have like a like the rice cooker. We just make so much rice, and usually we have leftover rice. And mm-hmm. I grew up with my mother taking that leftover rice and spreading it across the pan and dry roasting it, and then you know. Putting it into a Ziploc bag and just munching on it, like on the train or on the subway. Great. Or, she used to give that a lot to me when I was sick and I didn't have an appetite and I refused to eat anything. And she would come into my room and have like a bowl of nurongji, and sometimes she would pour like hot water over it and it would be like a rice tea. And sometimes she would bring me. Like an unsweetened sujeongwa, which is one of the flavors that I've made into an ice cream flavor.
And that one is...
Sweet as bae. And sweet as bae is a cinnamon ginger pear ice cream flavor. And, you know, I grew up with my mom always making like a cinnamon ginger tea. And sujeongwa is basically a traditional Korean sweet punch. Made with cinnamon and ginger, and it's usually paired with like a dried seasonal fruit. So a lot of Korean people will think of sujeongwa as like cinnamon ginger with dried persimmons soaked into it. But in my case, I made an ice cream flavor that has like a pear sauce swirled into the cinnamon ginger ice cream. Mm-hmm. So that's like my way of reimagining that flavor.
Got it. Yeah. To me, when I tasted that one, it was like very autumn and warm. Mm-hmm. Do you typically have that tea for like special occasions, or it's like for daily drinking, or is it seasonal?
So it's not really seasonal, but you can see it a lot during the summertime. They'll sweeten it up with honey and serve it to you ice cold.
Ooh,
so
okay.
It's like a dessert punch. And also it can be just served hot as a tea and unsweetened. And it can also, it's not particularly seasonal, but they tend to use like seasonal fruits with it. Yeah.
Very cool. And then what about golden sesame? Why did you pick that flavor?
So that's actually one of my favorite flavors right now. And I use sesame seeds every time I cook Korean food. And sesame oil. I drizzle like sesame oil all the time on my food. So I wanted to create a flavor using sesame seeds because it's such a staple ingredient for Korean cuisine. It really represents basically what Korean food mm-hmm. is, and it's just very distinctly Korean.
it definitely had like a savory component to it too. Very light, but like I felt like that was there. For listeners that haven't had, you know, like the comparison between golden sesame and black sesame, how would you describe the difference?
Black sesame is more, I would say, it's subtle, but it has undertones of like almost chocolate. And it's a little less nutty and more bitter.
Okay.
I would say, and for just like toasted white sesames, it just has like a very savory but bright, nutty type of flavor to it. So to me, they taste very different, and I actually create them very differently. Like I have a different flavor profile with them, like in my head at least. So with the black sesame, the way that I make it is I actually put a touch of vanilla in our black sesame, and for the sesame the golden sesame, I make it more of a savory type of savory sweet, and the black sesame is actually sort of more like a bittersweet nutty type of flavor. It's a lot sweeter than the golden sesame.
Yeah, that's really good to know. I feel like generally, you don't really talk about that as much, the different types of sesame. It's just like, okay, that's like the little dots on the Asian food.
I guess that's why my favorite type of bagel is an everything bagel.
That's awesome. So tell us about, my favorite flavor is the Little Miss Sunshine.
Okay.
What's that one?
So that flavor is a turmeric ice cream, and we pair it with...
That's really on trend, by the
way. Yeah, I was just going to say the same.
It's a beautiful color, too. We don't add any type of additives or dyes to make it even more brighter or yellow, too. So, but we pair that with Korean-style honeycombs. And so the inspiration is the honeycomb part of it. And in Korean, it's called popki. And it's a throwback Korean street food. So you can't, like, back in the day, they, like, in Korea, they would have, like, street carts, and it would be, they would serve it outdoors, and that, and it was just, like, a fun kind of treat. And it would be given, it would be served on a stick, and, like, in different shapes, like heart shapes, like star shapes. It was a fun treat. But they don't have it anymore, unfortunately. But it just was a nostalgic treat that I kind of wanted to just incorporate. And
it has such a distinct fragrant flavor. And the texture is so fun to like bite into. And now that I know that you've said that it's been crafted into different shapes, that brings a whole level of like another level of whimsy to it. And that's like really fun for like dessert ingredients, I guess.
Definitely. And then like when you freeze it up and someone opens it, it sort of as it melts, it sort of starts getting gooey. And it's a fun that one's a very fun flavor for sure.
That's awesome. These are all so distinct. I think when we think about Korean cuisine, Iris and I have done episodes on kimchi and banchan. And we know, like, you know, Korean barbecue or even Korean fried chicken, those are big. But, like, these, like, delicate flavors, you know, they don't get enough attention, enough time to shine in the spotlight.
I guess it makes sense that they don't. Like, I don't see... I'm not here to really, like, revolutionize nudongji or like, any of these flavors, really. They just personally mean a lot to me, and it's really fun to bring them out in a way that that connects with other people. So it's more so about not... like focusing in on like, okay, like what is like it would be great to bring more awareness to these types of foods and dishes and ingredients. But I understand that, you know, they, if you just ate nudongji itself, it's sort of bland and I don't
right. I see what
you mean.
And
it's sort of my way of bringing this kind of flavor that is not always so delicious and appealing, really, and bringing it out in like just a different, fun way.
Yeah, in the form of like most people's favorite food, which is ice cream.
Yeah,
And you touched on this earlier about how nudongji reminds like people of paella or you know, different cultural foods. So do you get customers you know, coming to you and saying, oh, like this flavor is reminiscent of something else that can be found in like other countries or their cultures?
Yeah, I think that our toasted rice nudongji flavor really started the business of Nuna's ice cream in a big way, because I saw that like I have a lot of non-Korean friends, and I was sharing them with a lot of friends and neighbors, and they all really loved it and were saying that, you know, this reminds me of like an actual sugar cone or like toasted marshmallows or caramel popcorn or like it reminded someone of, you know, like a rice pudding that their mother made for them. And these are like people that are not Korean. And it just reminded me that, you know, it's just so much fun, because in every culture, there's a lot of similar ingredients and similar flavors. And depending on where you are in the world, you make something different out of, out of those ingredients. And, it's really exciting to see that and to be a part of that, and to connect with others through food and through things that, and through foods that you would not really think so much about. And so I guess that's the fun part of it sharing and just connecting with others and in a way that just brings on great conversations and a lot of smiles. So.
Yeah, that's an awesome take on it. So we're going to take a really quick break and we'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Brooklyn Ball Factory, a Japanese eatery and coffee shop with locations at 95 Montrose Avenue in East Williamsburg and 729 8th Avenue in Hell's Kitchen. They're brewing up some of the city's best tea and coffee, now in Brooklyn and Manhattan. Grab a pour-over, matcha latte, or yuzu ginger mint tea. For lunch, Brooklyn Ball Factory offers Japanese comfort food, like sandwiches and muffins. Or think inside the box and order one of their bentos, like meatball, grilled veggies, or pork shabu shabu. The meatballs, a favorite, are made with beef chuck roll and short rib in a sweet sour sauce of apples cooked in soy. The new location, Brooklyn Ball Factory Hell's Kitchen, is now serving sushi bombs. If you're in the mood for dessert, try dorayaki, traditional Japanese snacks that are made to order and served warm. Brooklyn Ball Factory takes the classic mini pancake sandwiches with red bean paste and puts a modern twist on them by adding mascarpone cheese and additional stuffing, like Japanese sweet potato, cream cheese, chocolate ganache, matcha white chocolate, or mochi. Visit Brooklyn Ball Factory at 95 Montrose Avenue in East Williamsburg and 729 8th Avenue in Hell's Kitchen. Brooklyn Ball Factory is now available to cater your next business lunch or cocktail party. Learn more at bkballfactory.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Feast Meets West, and today in the studio I have Hannah Bay with me of Nuna's. Hannah, could you let us know what Nuna's mean and the mission behind what you've created?
Yeah, so Nuna means older sister, big sister in Korean, So I grew up with two brothers, one older brother and one younger brother. And so I created the name, so the name is Nunez, mainly because one of my favorite things is being an older sister. I studied psychology in college and was, about to pursue a career in social work, but decided to create an ice cream business instead. But a lot of my experience in my earlier years have been working with children in academic settings. So there's a big part of me that still wants to pursue some aspect of like giving back and helping people in a bigger way. And so the mission of Nunez is to create an ice cream business that grows in a way that allows me to create a big sister mentorship program for employees and people who just want to become food entrepreneurs and provide them with just like more knowledge and more background, like information and know-how to actually do that with like maybe like less mistakes.
Yeah, it's not easy. I think it's like especially, you know, Brooklyn, New York City. It's you're competing with so many other, you know, great talents, but at the same time there are also tremendous opportunities with like the food fairs and all of that stuff, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, it sounds amazing that, you know, beyond just producing amazing ice cream, you're also trying to think about how you can teach and give back as a small business owner in the current landscape. So tell us a little bit about your like POV on the current like food, small batch craft food industry. Like, first of all, like, why don't you have a storefront?
So I don't have a storefront, because it's just not on the forefront of my mind. Because depending on the location, you're kind of, you're not left. It makes you sort of inflexible in a way, because mm-hmm. you're in a set location. Like, what happens if you don't get enough people coming in the door, or mm-hmm. your rent is too high and it goes higher and higher.
Right.
And looking at the way that things are going, it just keeps going up and up and up. Like, just costs.
And now we have like. Right, e-commerce, like, options.
Yeah, there's
delivery options.
There's so many other ways to start your business and grow your business. And, you know, maybe later on I'll open up a shop. But for now, I'm just looking at all the other opportunities that are there. It might be harder to maybe see or find, but I think that there's definitely opportunities if you find the right market, or if you have several outlets that allow you to make enough sales and grow. You know, wholesaling is you know, your margins are slimmer, but if you're selling enough and it's there, you know, the stores are there for you, and you're building great relationships with the stores you're in, then I think that you can grow your business without maybe having a shop. But
sure.
You know, it'd be great to maybe have a shop one day. But I think that if that day comes, it would be with more people and definitely my fiance, and it would just be. I can't see myself just opening up an ice cream shop. It would have to be something more than that. Mm-hmm. That's why.
Yeah, and that's why you also have your big sister mentorship program. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. So for those who are new and want to kind of like get their feet wet in, you know, craft food, like the ice cream landscape in New York City, what kind of advice would you give them?
I would say to first, like, believe in yourself to really, like, it takes a lot of work. Like, I sprained my ankle last week. I dropped my keys down a freight this morning and, like, hours of my day. But, you know, so basically, like, those it's kind of work, things yeah. might happen to you. And, you know, like, when I sprained my ankle, I just, like, somehow, like, got up and I just, like, went to the meeting that I was supposed to go to. And people were like, do you want to go to the hospital? I'm like, no, I have to get to this meeting. Like, but, you know, so it's, I think, like, more than anything, it's, like, you know, passion, hard work more mm-hmm. than anything. And I guess, like, with specifics, it's hard to say, but I would be more than happy to, like, if, you know, people listening and they had specific questions, they can, like, email me and, like, I'll be more than happy to, like, try to answer their question or direct them to someone that I know that might know some, you know. I think the, like, me asking questions and asking people for mm-hmm. help has definitely helped me. Like, not being so stubborn.
Right, right.
Has helped me so much.
Yeah, being receptive to that feedback, because it's, the landscape seems to be so dynamic, so you want to, like, get that intel.
Yeah, I think to have something that is good and also very different, mm-hmm. It has helped me too. Like, there's so many ice cream companies, and I think that if I didn't feel like I had something special and different and good, mm-hmm. Then I probably wouldn't
like you wouldn't
come
be
out
here.
With a yeah. yeah. I think, like, even if I could make, like, the best vanilla ice cream or something, I would be like,
yeah,
like, yeah, that's great, but I don't think I'm gonna actually, like, turn it into a business.
Right.
I mean, there's some people who do, you know, but I myself thought, you know, it needs to not just be great, but different and something that can contribute to our community in a bigger way.
That's great. So what do you see for the future of Asian inspired ice cream flavors?
Well, I think more so it's, like, about global flavors, not just, like, Asian inspired mm-hmm. flavors, but I can see, you know, I'm very excited about just seeing, like, more different, like, ice cream flavors, like, out there and more mm-hmm. Accessible mm-hmm. To people. It would be great to, I think that's what pushed me to go into pint distribution so mm-hmm. early, is because I was very, like, determined to have, you know, even though people know Black Sesame ice cream, you don't really see it at stores so much, like, and it's hard to actually get, like, a pint of Black Sesame ice cream unless you're going to, like, an Asian supermarket. Mm-hmm. To see, like, more like a better selection of flavors in stores would be great to see, and that's sort of what, like, I'm trying to do. But yeah, it would just be great to see, like, just more different...
More variety.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, just more choice.
But for Asian-inspired flavors, I you know, I think it's here to stay, and mm-hmm. it's going to grow, and I'm going to definitely yeah. be growing, like, the Korean-inspired flavor collection. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so, like, one of the new flavors that I'm going to bring out in the summertime is a strawberry Perla ice cream flavor. So that one's, like, inspired... by the Korean sesame leaf. Mm. It's not really, like, it's not, like, from sesame, but mm-hmm. we just call it Korean sesame leaf. But it's also called, like, Perla.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, part of the mint family. And so it tastes sort of like mint, basil, licorice, like...
Is that similar to shiso, or...
Yeah,
the same thing?
It's not the same thing. It's bigger.
Okay.
It's also shiso, it tastes more minty than anything, and Korean Perla leaves are less minty but still have that mint flavor going on, but it has a lot of other like nuances, like of like basil and anise and licorice, and so it's a mysterious type of leaf.
Yeah, sounds like it would be paired really well with strawberry, that kind of flavoring.
Yeah.
And also good for the summer and like the colors too.
Definitely. Yeah, I'm very excited about that. I'm working on that right now.
That's so cool. So other than new flavors, what's next for you and Nuna's? What are your goals for the immediate future?
So I started out actually producing my ice cream at Hot Bar Kitchen in East Harlem, and they're a shared incubator space, and I now have moved out of there and can now like grow my business, and so I produce my ice cream in a dairy facility in Brooklyn, and now I'm looking into growing the business even more by building out my own dairy space. Mm. It wouldn't be a storefront, but you know, it. I chose I'm choosing to build out my own space because it gives me more flexibility, and I actually don't need that much space to produce the ice cream, so it would be less of a cost to have that space built out than have, like, a storefront.
Cool. So you're, like, already figuring out your business optimization.
I'm trying to. You always want, like, a production space if you're making food, so the storefront can definitely come later, for sure. Thinking about it, like, for a split second is exciting, but there's a long ways to go. So for some people, you know, like, they know right away, but for me, I'm like still working it out.
Definitely.
Hannah, where can listeners buy Nuna's ice cream?
Yeah, so right now we're available. So if you're in Manhattan, we're available at Lucy's Way, and they're an artisanal cheese shop. Great little store. We're also at Foragers in their Manhattan and Brooklyn location, and we're also in Meckleburgs in Brooklyn as well. And starting next month, we're going to have, like, new pint packaging, so we'll be at a lot more stores. To name a few, we'll be in all the Union Market locations. We'll be at Depanor. We'll be in, like, a lot more stores. But those are, like, two that I can definitely say for sure right now.
That's really cool. And can you find it online too?
Yeah. So you can also order pints online, and I actually personally deliver them myself.
Oh yeah.
And so that, you know, you can also get it that way. You know, during the summer season, we're at markets right now, but we're still trying to find our market space for the summer. It is, like, I can't really say right now, but we'll definitely be somewhere, most likely in Brooklyn.
Sounds great. We'll definitely be on the lookout for that. So, Hannah, that wraps up our show today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Thanks, Hannah. I find it really inspiring that you started this business where you were able to incorporate so many things that are important to you and that you love. So that's really great. Props to you.
Thank you so much, Iris. That means a lot.
For those listeners, please check out Nuna's Ice Cream. As a reminder, there is actually only one episode left of Feast Meets West before Heritage Radio Network's winter season ends. So be sure to subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher if you haven't already, and please leave us a rating and review. It would be very much appreciated. We'll be back next week to wrap up the season with one more awesome conversation from the world of Asian food.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Heritage_Radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening. Yeah.